Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Saturday morning Bible study. We are recording today from the North Star Cottage, and we are very grateful you could join us on this cold Saturday after our Thanksgiving. Our topic today is Peace on Earth, Luke 2, and our moderator is Thomas from New York.
Welcome, everybody. So we'll start out with a reading of a selected hymn. Sing, ye joyous children, sing. Glorious is the Christ our King. Truth has come again to earth through the lowly Savior's birth. Men and angels anthems raise, hymns of joy and shouts of praise. Hear the angelic song again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Sing, ye joyous children, sing. Glorious is the Christ our King. When the stars together sang, then the truth triumphant rang. Be there light, and there was light. Gone are chaos, fear, and night. Truth has rolled the mist away. Dawns on earth harmonious day. Hear the angelic song again. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Sing, ye joyous children, sing. Glorious is the Christ our King. This was hymn 310, Bethlehem. The words were written by John Randall Dunn.
Well done, Thomas.
Good, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Good hymn. Mm-hmm. Good song for Christmas.
Beautiful.
Even the stars were singing.
Yes.
The whole universe was thanking God for the Christ.
Glorious picture.
Yeah, it wasn't just the Jews, Israel.
Right.
Anyone want to comment on the hymn? Yeah, Florence.
When our Savior, the whole world Savior comes, yes, we got to sing. Be happy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, gone are chaos, fear, and night. I love that line because that is so true.
Thank you. Yes. Truth has rolled the mists away. We always have to remember when we see all that chaos, fear, and night, it is the mist that rose up in Genesis 2. It's not the truth of God's creation.
Well, the tone of this whole hymn is jubilant and triumphant, and it is a healing message. There's been many times I've had a healing when finally I got myself to just be jubilant and triumphant. And it just wiped out whatever problem was there. I can't imagine anybody singing this hymn and finishing and having a sad heart. It's not going to happen to anyone.
Could be a daily hymn. Dawns on earth, harmonious day. Hear the angelic song again. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Sing ye glorious children, sing. Could be our morning song.
Yeah. Very good. Sing it every morning.
Because every morning that day, that Christ awakes in us.
Thank you, yes. Every day.
And the line dawns on earth's harmonious day. It dawns in our individual consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. The harmony.
Yes.
Yeah, and because it is universal, and because it is divine rather than human, it hits everybody. It's in everybody. It's just for us to wake up and recognize it and to be grateful for it.
Yeah, my mother often reminds me the word universe, one verse, that we are all in tune with.
Oh, that's a good one. One verse.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
is universal. Especially at this moment, the whole world is feeling it. And it's us. I think it's our duty to express it. And whether you're a Christian or not, you feel this moment, this joyous period of time. And by doing so, we make more Christians. We reach out to many people. We change, pretty much change the world. And we can draw many people to God, to Christ.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah. And that dispels all the materialism. Mm-hmm. And when we do this work in unity, just like the book, Christ and Christmas, and what Christmas means to me.
You know what? The stars could be us. The stars together sang.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
The light of the individual Christian scientists made the truth ring throughout the world. That would be a lovely situation.
It really would. Thank you.
Yeah, I had somebody say, you met me yesterday, one of our translators who is not American and doesn't live here, she said that she's celebrating Thanksgiving, even though in her country they don't celebrate that, but she saw the need and why it's important to celebrate, whether you're American or not. And she says she's celebrating Thanksgiving, and a lot of people from her part of the world are doing, so the same way, doing the same thing too. So you see how contagious good can be.
Yes.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, very contagious. Tom, did you want to say anything?
Well, this is certainly a joyous hymn, right?
Yes.
Celebratory, right? And just reading about John Randall Dunn, and it was interesting how he was described as being friendly and cheerful. So, which is seems to be how his hymn has come out, right?
Yes.
Kind of a joyful, celebratory hymn, right?
Yes. Very much.
Well, he was a solid worker. He was one of the good guys. And he got the benefit of his hard work and his faithfulness.
Yeah, so what else have people found out about John Randall Dunn?
He was a practitioner from 1907 to 1948.
That's a long time.
And he was also a Christian Science teacher and a lecturer and editor of Christian Science periodicals. And one of his lectures, Christian Science, The Revelation of Abundant Life, which he gave in 1934, is a very wonderful lecture, and you can find that online.
Yeah, he did books to Remedy for Fear and The Friend of Mankind. They're excellent. And we're going to put them at church. We're going to keep them at church. Reprinted.
I believe he was Greeky's teacher, too. Habas Greeky, I mean, yeah.
He was Herbert Rieke's teacher, did you say?
Teacher, yeah. Mm-hmm. Reading Herbert Rieke's stuff. It sounds like Randall Dunn was the teacher.
Hmm. Well, and you see, this is the golden chain that gets transferred down, and you learn these. You learn to be a practitioner. You learn the truths of Christian Science from a good practitioner, a good teacher. Apprenticeship, that's how it works, and that's very important, especially now when some of it is getting adulterated.
He lived in New Jersey for a while, 1930.
Oh, really?
Yes. Patterson, as you say.
Well, it is the center of the universe.
It is.
Yeah, I'd like to mention again about his cheerfulness, let's say, right? Because I'm looking at one of his lectures. I don't know anything about this website, but I've seen it often. It's called cslectures.org. Yeah. But they have some of his lectures, and there's a paragraph he wrote about the friendliness of Christian Science. Mm-hmm. And then in another lecture, he quotes what he says is a familiar verse. "Twixt optimist and pessimist, the difference is quite droll. The optimist the donut sees, the pessimist the hole."
That's wonderful. Thank you.
So he seems to be a very optimistic, cheerful person. Friendly?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and he lived and practiced through the Depression.
Right.
I mean, he lived and practiced during the Roaring Twenties, when people were mesmerizing themselves, and then he practiced through the Depression when people were paying for the party that they had in the 1920s, and you know, there were tremendous changes going on in the world. This is when communism kind of reared its ugly head in many places. So he saw a lot going on that was not good, that he had to see through and practice during this whole time.
Yeah, in his article, "Are You Faithful, Do You Love?" he addresses that issue. He was a very wonderful writer. He's one of, yes, as Gary said, he's one of the good ones. Carrie found out that he was the son of James Randall Dunn, an official of the U.S. Immigration Service. And his mother, Caroline, was an accomplished singer and pianist. And in researching him, I just found some interesting things. One is something called the Effulgence Foundation, which I'd never heard of. And they make movies of these early workers, one on John Randall Dunn, Paul Stark Seeley, Helen Wood Bauman, Dr. John Tutt, Eva Meek Walter. And then they go around the country showing you the movie and speaking on these people. I guess if you want to have it come to your church or wherever, it costs $850. But it was interesting that they're fulfilling something other than what the Longyear Museum does, because they deal mainly with Mrs. Eddy. And also, just interesting that they came to Atlanta this in October, and they gave the movie about John Randall Dunn, I guess, at the church there. So I'd never heard of them before. I thought it was interesting. And then the Effulgence Foundation.
Interesting.
I never would have heard of it if I hadn't researched John Randall Dunn. And I'm not sure where they're located. One of the area codes is Southern California. So, and the other thing, I thought this was such an interesting article by John Randall Dunn, and it's called, I'm just going to read some of it because this is something else I'd never heard before. Reading the Scientific Statement of Being, Our Leader's Way. Extract from the reminiscence of John Randall Dunn, one of our leader's students from the Mary Baker Eddy Library. So maybe he was a student of Mrs. Eddy, yeah, it sounds like.
Awesome.
"This is so important for us all to know, and particularly helpful for first readers. And remember, our leader made this statement the culmination of the whole service, during the reading of which the whole congregation stands. It is that important." So Mr. Dunn writes, "I called on Miss Clara Shannon in London, England, shortly before her going from our sight. She seemed very alert mentally and related the following incidents. She said she was with our leader one day at Pleasant View when a well-known Christian scientist from the West was received by Mrs. Eddy. In the course of their conversation, he told her that he had been elected first reader of his church. Mrs. Eddy then gave him a copy of Science and Health and asked him to read the scientific statement of being to her. Miss Shannon stated that to her sense of things, the man read the statement very well. But when he had finished, Mrs. Eddy looked at him a little sternly and said, "You haven't the slightest ideas how that should be read. Let me have the book." He passed the Science and Health back to her, and she proceeded to read it to him. Mrs. Shannon quickly opened her own textbook and underlined the words which Mrs. Eddy emphasized. It appeared that her thought was to minimize the negative, which is what Tom was just saying, and to emphasize the affirmative statements in this paragraph. And then it goes on exactly how to read it, and we can put that on our website, I guess. But a lot of us, we have the benediction being read. We have it read sometimes in our lessons. So it's important to realize how to read it, and that is something that Mrs. Eddy gave to Clara Shannon, who passed it down to John Randall Dunn. Anybody else? We can move
on. I do want to say this is kind of revealing to me because I'd never heard of him before. And he is so accomplished. I'm saying, how come I did not hear about him before, right? Because, he was a practitioner. He was a teacher. He was a lecturer. He was an editor for the Christian Science periodicals. He wrote several hymns. I mean, I find that kind of amazing, right? Like, how many people or whatever in the Christian Science organization even wrote a hymn, right? And he wrote several of them. So he's quite an accomplished guy. And then his qualities that stand out about being a loving person and cheerful and friendly and wish I had known this person.
Well, we can know him in his writings, can't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ricky's writings, too, the way he talks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Ricky certainly expresses a lot of joy.
Yes. Funny.
And humor. Yeah. Humor, which is important, I think.
Yeah. During wit, humor, and vivacity from his writings.
Thank you.
Wasn't John Randall Dunn also a member of the Board of Lectureship as well?
Yes.
Yes.
We mentioned some of his lectures.
And he was also given an honorary doctorate by Principia College. Didn't know they did that. That's quite significant. So, and then we should know, or well, we will know now, but... we do have at least one of his articles on the Plainfield website. So obviously someone at Plainfield has recognized him before.
Well, yes, and we have published, I think, some of his writings. And Mrs. Evans, she gave us a list of those more modern writers, if you will, that wrote good things. And he was certainly on that list. So I was aware of him.
Yeah, I think you shared an article of his about the bad sheep.
And oh, that's right.
The painting of the shepherd reaching over the crevice and lifting this little lamb out of the...
That's correct. That was, I think, an article Carrie had found that we talked about. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's been one.
We've been a fan of John Randall Dunn for a long, long time.
Yeah.
He's one of the good guys.
One of the three guys. Yeah, there were a lot of them gone bad, right?
Well, they didn't stay with the science as correctly as he did.
Yeah.
In our humble opinion.
It's hard to go be a good guy if you're told by Mrs. Sandy, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll continue with our Bible study, and as Mary had mentioned at the beginning, our topic is peace on earth. So our number two question, since we just talked about John Randall Dunn, is, and just briefly to kind of set the stage for our further discussions, but what are the duties of a traditional shepherd? So this is referencing Luke chapter 2, verse 8.
Well, one of them was to keep watch over the flock at night to protect them from predators and make sure that they were well taken care of, fed and watered and all that kind of thing.
Thank you.
Well, looking at the shepherds taking care of the sheep, of course, the first thing is they provide food, water, shelter, and protection. Another point is they take care of the welfare of the flock, and they're aware of specific needs of the flock. The responsibility for guiding, vigilant in protecting. They have a close bond with their flock. They teach and train their flock to follow commands for their well-being. And they have the overall management of the flock. And I was thinking that all these items here, caring for, being responsible, protecting, being close with the flock, and giving commands that protect them, is just like God with his children, with us. And that's the same thing, that we have the protection of our Father, Mother, God.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I was that wonderful book recommended by Plainfield, The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's such a beautiful book, and it tells you how the shepherd has to keep them calm and able to rest and be at peace.
Also, very often they are not always the owner of the sheep.
What?
They're not always the owner of the sheep they're taking care of. They're not owner of the sheep, which is very important. Remember when Jesus was telling Peter, feed my sheep. It's like a commandment. It's like God telling us, say, feed my sheep, which means God is the owner of the sheep. We are the shepherd, and we have a duty from God to care for his sheep. Like somebody said, feed, water them, and protect them. Because the owner of the sheep, like the question said, in a traditional way, they are very more often than not just caretaker of the sheep. And God is the owner.
Right. Well, and the sheep were vulnerable, weren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't defend themselves all by themselves. You know, there were wolves, and the wolves were in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Well, the tremendous service that they do. You might think of a shepherd as a very humble position, and in a way it is. But remember what Jesus says, the one that's greatest is the one that serves. Mm-hmm. So they're doing something very special in their service.
It was the humility of being a shepherd that allowed Moses to hear God speaking.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think of all the time they had just to be out there in the fields with the stars and the quietness of it all. Mm-hmm. 24/7.
Do you feel any better?
Pardon me? I think it was in The Chosen where, you know, some of them even named their sheep. They had a very tender relationship. Mm-hmm. They love them.
Yeah. It's also impressive that the shepherd cares that much about the sheep that it goes and finds still water, because the sheep are afraid of running water. So they will particularly go and make sure that there is still water. If there's only running water, they will dig a hole and make some of the water come into so that it would be still, because the sheep were afraid of running water. Also, the fact that the shepherd would take each sheep at night and make sure that they didn't get any nicks or anything like that. It's a beautiful relationship. Very detailed.
Yes.
And they don't give up on their sheep.
They don't give up on them.
Yeah, that's very important, because in the story in the Bible, when Jesus talked about one of the sheep went astray, he left 400. I'm trusting that 100 are not going to walk away. It's a lot of trust between the sheep and the shepherd. It's not even 400 looking for one. He could come back and another 20 already walk away too. But he trusted his sheep, and his sheep trusted them.
Yeah,
and Jesus emphasized in the Bible a lot of times.
Yes, and you've seen those YouTubes where a shepherd will call the sheep and they all come running, and if someone else can call and they pay no attention, they do know their shepherd's voice. And the analogy between, yes, us and the Christ or our Father, Mother, God is very strong. And that book that Elizabeth mentioned by Philip Keller is a very important one. If you don't have it, you should get it. Well, say the name of it again, Elizabeth. The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm.
Yes, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about the shepherds, imagine being out there in the middle of the night and it appears like, hey, nothing's going on. And it'd be so easy for the mind to get distracted and wander, or maybe even fall asleep. But the discipline that it takes to stay watching. And the only thing that can keep that discipline going is love. Mm-hmm. You know, there's love for those sheep. Otherwise, all the distractions are going to come in. What's going to hold it in there? So love and discipline go together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, our children.
So we'll move on to our next question. And I didn't say this earlier, but our Bible study today is on Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, which is, as we all know, is focusing on the shepherds. So, number 3, what were the messages the angel and angels delivered to the shepherds? So the angel said a number of things to the shepherds.
Yeah, well, the first angel announced the birth of a Savior, the Christ. And then the host of angels thanked God profusely, and they announced peace on earth and goodwill to men, which the result of the birth of the Christ.
Yeah. Before that happened, glory that shone around. There was a bright light that shone. And at first, the shepherds were a bit fearful of it. So the first thing the angel said was to fear not. That's where the first part of that message is. Calm the fear. And then gave the wonderful message about announcing the birth of Christ, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Florence, did you want
to? Do not be afraid. We've been told that so many times.
Yeah.
Here it is again. Do not be afraid. Brings peace, love. It's the birth of the world's shepherd, really, the birth of the world. Shepherd, I feel.
Yes.
Guide us. Provide for us. Keep us comforted if we allow him to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Then they told him where they could find the babe.
Yeah.
The sign.
Mm-hmm.
Lying in a manger.
And then what it would be like. Be in a stable and a manger. And a manger is this little feeding trough for cattle. So he appeared in the humblest of circumstances.
The more praising of God, glory to God in the highest. and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
It is really so beautiful. It's worth reading this every morning, at least once a week during this time.
Christmas Eve service.
Yeah, not the Christmas Eve. I'll be reading it. But it's so beautiful. This version and also the one in Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's because they were humbly listening that they got the instruction of where and when and, you know, how to go there and do what they had to do.
Yeah, that goes into the next question.
Well, before we get to that, though, I mean, one of the reasons I ask this question is like, you know, what were the angels telling the shepherds? But what does Christian Science or Mary Baker Eddy tell us that angels are?
Yeah.
This is a very important part of the story about angels visiting the shepherds.
Oh, absolutely. They are God's thoughts passing to man. Intuitions.
Pure and perfect.
Yeah, these weren't material beings. These were God's thoughts coming loud and clear.
But shepherds were very special people, unlike those that lived in cities. If you've ever been out in the country, you know, all the hubbub and noise of the cities and that mean nothing, but the sky looks so clear and bright with stars, and you can feel like you were alone with your maker. So they are probably very, you know, attuned to listening and waiting for answers.
Thank you.
Yeah, so one reason I'm bringing it up is we're going through a historic story, but the angels are relevant to us too, right? They're an important part of this story, but it's a part of our everyday life.
It is, you're right.
Yeah.
And that's why
we hear that they are always talking to us, and that when we're quiet, that's when we hear.
Yeah, it's important. I don't know, but I think it's interesting that when this angelic thought appears to the shepherd, the first thing they told them was, do not be afraid. I think, I don't know about anybody, but I know that from personal experience, when you get this kind of this angelic thought, fear can grip you and makes you to doubt if it's really coming from God, because something in this case is too good to be true. Imagine something that had been one of your weirdest dreams about God or yourself. All of a sudden, you find out this is actually true. And the thought of knowing that this is true about God and you can be very fearful to believe it, and then it's in that moment, because they have waited for generations for this moment to come, and there they are. It's actually happening. So the angel saw how fear can grip them, because they were the shepherd were important in this story in making this moment to manifest the way God wanted. And God wants them to go and deliver and be able to be present and see this, the hope of all Israel. But that kind of removed those fear away, and they were able to move away.
That's a very good point. And this is why the angels reassuring them, fear not, is so important. Because the human mind is fearful of anything that the senses can't explain
it. Yeah.
And that's, you know, anything that our preconceived notions can't explain is fearful. And that is why a highly spiritualized thought is required to be able to receive God's messages. Mm-hmm. Because the human mind can't explain them.
Or believe them.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. And that's why what Craig was saying, you know, in the cities and the hustle and bustle, or you don't have to be in the city to have that hustle and bustle going on.
But if you're in tune with the human senses and not in tune with spiritual sense, you're going to be afraid of something that can't be explained.
Well, we also know that Jesus upset a lot of things that were being just accepted and set something that would be old from the beginning but yet new to them. You know how the human nature is, it's comfortable with what it's familiar with. But if you get familiar with something that needs to be eliminated, then you might be fearful of something that comes along and says, okay, let's cast this out and start with something new and better. You might be fearful of that.
Especially if you make your livelihood on it, like the Pharisees did. Mm-hmm.
Well,
reminds me of John when he says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so these guys had to listen, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And there was this, you know, and you got the impression there was a big bright light. And they may not have understood it first, but the angels made sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Kind of like the light that shined on Saul on the road to Damascus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, in one of our Bible studies, we talked about how often angels appear to all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And you know, we shouldn't think that white doesn't happen today, except we don't think it should or accept it, as we've talked about. Martha Wilcox, in her article, Angels, is just beautiful. It's part of, I think, the power of a right idea. But she writes, angels are as real as any other part of God's creation. Mm-hmm. To those mentalities in tune with the divine mind, these angel visitants, divine ideas, or experiences are innumerable. They are incidences, they are incidents of every hour and are the privileged lot of every individual. Angels are the invisible essence and substance of our visible experiences. Through them, the invisible appears in human consciousness. God's goodness is impartial. He does not withhold anything from us. These angels of his presence are something which we, in our ignorance, are withholding from ourselves. Miracles do not just happen. When we change our inmost thought to accord with the angels of his presence, this puts into operation spiritual law, which causes the externalization of that which from the beginning has already been bestowed. So we should look for these angels and think about their presence and power with us. Chardell?
At Plainfield, we teach the children about angel thoughts. And in hymn 9, if you look it up, is perfect. He knows the angels that you need and sends them to your side to comfort, guard, and guide.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yes. For me, on a personal level, I know all of us can remember that, and that's definitely the reason why we are here. I remember in 98 when, for me, I think it was an angelic encounter that I had with us. There's no other way to explain it. Like you said, the angels are, message that Gary said, read early, divine message coming from God. And it can come in different form. It can come in a print, or it can also come as a thought. In that 98, when only God could have done it, to have Healing Thought magazine. there's no way. It's somebody like me, if you know the background that I have, to be able to have access to this material. It's almost impossible. I mean, but you know, in a human sense, it's impossible for somebody like me to have access to such a copy of the material. But with God, it's, nothing is impossible. And that 98, when I got my hand on that, it was just right there in front of me. And I picked it up and I opened it. And reading those materials in there, God, it just, there's no word, the right word to explain it, to be honest. But it was actually angelic delivery to me. Just God, it was God who delivered that message right in my hand. And just like I was saying earlier, I was gripped with fear from my head to what I'm reading. What is this? But I knew, even as a teenager, after that, I knew I have touched the, it's like touching the hem of the garment of Christ. Gripped with fear, I refused to let go. I continued to read. And I took that booklet and I made it my own. I read it for ages. But
that's, you're here today.
Yeah, you see, and that's yeah, that's my angelic account.
That's beautiful. And that was Benjamin in Nigeria receiving a Healing Thoughts magazine, which at that time we had run a full page article about our church, Independent Christian Science Church in the USA Today. And many of the letters we received in response to that advertisement came from Nigeria. So we began sending these magazines to Nigeria to various people who requested them. And Benjamin was just one who happened to come upon it. What, your brother had it or something?
Somebody gave it to me as a gift.
Oh, wow.
Just put it in.
Wow.
I was hiding among many of people. That wasn't
enough. And all the hundreds of people in Nigeria who...
Millions.
And million. Copies of this. Benjamin was the only one that we invited to come and visit.
Yeah, as Mrs. Evans felt there was something about Benjamin. And we paid for his flight to America.
And it was a one-way ticket.
And it was a one-way ticket. And he's never gone back.
Nope.
Well, there's something about that Benjamin, I tell you.
There's something about
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
It is a very beautiful story. Benjamin has so many stories to tell. If you ever come to Plainfield, you can just sit in a room with Benjamin. He has one after the next. Yeah. And they're all inspiring. Anyway, we'll go back to business.
All right.
Okay, so for our next question, and I do want to say thank you, Mary, for reading that from Martha Wilcox. That was just awesome. I think if Linda could add this to the Christmas Bible study notes, could use that next year. But that was just excellent, because I feel that angels is a recurring theme throughout the story of the birth of Jesus. So it's very important.
Absolutely. You're very, very true. Thank you.
Throughout the whole Bible.
Yes, yeah, I mean.
Okay. Question number four, why were the shepherds the first people to visit Jesus?
Well, we talked about the characteristics of those shepherds, how they were so receptive and whatever. It reminds me of that hymn of that Christmas carol, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
That's lovely.
Yes, sir.
From a little town of Bethlehem, hymn 222.
Hey. In preface, the signs and health, this is that he refers to the watchful shepherds who were watching.
So true.
That's why I love our watches at this church.
Yes.
Keep us watching.
Yeah.
I think we have a liberator with that theme, the watchful shepherd.
Yes.
Wakeful shepherd.
The wakeful shepherd.
The wakeful shepherd. Yeah. Well, they know how to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they were the most receptive to the point of Jesus' mission. Right?
Yes.
I mean, they were safe. They weren't going to threaten. That's for sure. But they also appreciated what his mission was going to be. Unlike the Pharisees and the Sadducees and, you know, who thought that the Messiah was going to be a king and have an army and defeat the Romans
and make them be even more special.
And be a warrior, right.
It was interesting in an article by Spurgeon on this. He brings out the idea of they were unauthorized, which I found interesting. They were just simple shepherds. They weren't, because people would ask, well, they should have come, you know, to some higher up in the church. But the higher up in the church wouldn't have recognized it, right?
No.
Took this simplicity and meekness. And he goes into how absurd that word is, authorized. He said, you know, if you see a house on fire, do you have to be authorized to run in and help? You know, you have to be an authorized fireman. I mean, it's so limiting. You just let your heart speak and your heart move, which I thought it made some really good points about being authorized or not. He was mocking the idea of being authorized.
Humanly authorized.
Yes, humanly authorized.
Well, Mrs. Eddy also addresses the same issue in that referenced writing from Miscellaneous Writings, where she talks about who are the people of God, and she says, his people are they that reflect him, that reflect love. So that's who the people of God are. Kind of reminds me of that old song from long ago, I'm in with the in crowd. Well, guess what? We don't have any in crowd here.
No, we don't.
So this should answer the question of whether or not the door is open for anybody to be in the people of God, those that reflect him, reflect love. That's it.
It was very refreshing with Mrs. Evans, because if people would come, you know, saying they were a fourth or fifth generation Christian Scientist, class taught this, or maybe they'd gone to some fancy school, she would just rip that apart. She said, all that matters to me is how much Christ you express. And that has been a good thing to always remember and not be impressed with the ways and means of the material world, worldliness.
The only measure that counts.
Only measure. So how much Christliness does a person express? That is all that matters. And these shepherds did. And I thought this was beautiful from an article that Carrie sent called Watchfulness by Annie Knight. And she says in her book, Retrospection and Introspection, Mrs. Eddy tells of the disappointments and dreariness of mortal experience before the light of truth illumined for her the darkness. Then she says, quote, when the door opened, I was waiting and watching, and lo, the bridegroom came. The character of the Christ was illumined by the midnight torches of spirit, and my heart knew its Redeemer, end quote. For her, the tireless watcher, the night was gone, and to use her own words which follow, quote, being was beautiful, its substance, cause, and currents were God and his idea, end quote. This did not mean that watchfulness was at an end. Rather did it mean that its purpose was more vital than before. It was no peering out into the darkness to ask, what of the night? Instead, it was with spiritual sense, quick to hear the cheering response, the morning cometh. So I thought too, in likeness to the shepherds, Mrs. Eddy, why did it come to her? She was waiting and watching. She was receptive to it. And so she received the illumination of science and health with key to scripture. And it did come. I mean, it's just such a beautiful description of what happened to her.
And also, in the question that I'm asked, we're not surprised how important shepherd was significant to Jesus' mission, because when he started his mission, he uses shepherd characteristics to explain his mission to people, what a good shepherd is. Even to his disciples, he told feed my sheep. It's to be a good shepherd, or the characteristics of a good shepherd is something that all of us can learn from. But like Jeremy said earlier, it requires a lot of humility to be a good shepherd, and trust your flocks. Mm-hmm. So knowing that you have a commandment from God to take care of them.
Well, Jesus often referred to himself as the shepherd.
Yeah. The good shepherd.
Yes, the good
shepherd. Good shepherd.
Yeah. The example. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Bruce, did you want to say something?
No, Benjamin said it amazingly well. Something about Benjamin.
That'll be our next study.
I kind of want to go back to question number three about the angels, because question four, why were the shepherds the first people? And as it was said, I think by Gary, that, you know, they were receptive to Jesus, right? Well, the evidence of that reception of the shepherds is that the angels visited the shepherds because they heard the shepherds. Probably not all of us hear the angels, right? But they heard the angels. So that's evidence that they were listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
So that's why I think they were the first people to visit Jesus.
They
had the right frame of mind.
They were in a watchful state of thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know...
I was going to say, this all reminds me of Martha Wilcox's beautiful description of Mary and how she was so receptive to God's words and ideas and thoughts. And that's such a wonderful thing to read in that same article, The Power of the Right Idea, how lots of women at that time were waiting to see, you know, who it was going to be that would bring the Messiah, and that Mary saw it was so... so beautiful, and that's why it was her.
Yeah, that's so meaningful. Every year, everyone should work and study with that, because it brings out, this was a small group of metaphysical thinkers at that time during the Roman Empire, and they brought forth the Christ.
And they were out in Nazareth, which was a small town away from Jerusalem, away from the hustle and bustle, simple, humble people.
And it's often people who are looked down on, you know, considered like the shepherds in the first century were looked down on, lowly, not past group. But here, God's eyes on them too, on everyone.
Yes, indeed.
They weren't respected by the Sadducees and the Pharisees.
Yeah. You think, what good can come out of Nazareth?
Exactly.
You're right.
But, you know, the same thing can be said about the Star of Bethlehem. We hear the story about the three wise men that came from different areas, didn't even know each other at first, and yet they saw the star. Mm-hmm. And if the star was so bright and prominent, how come there wasn't others, like right. even from Jerusalem or Bethlehem to see that star, follow it? So this says there was something special about the ones that perceived the light, the ones that heard the angels.
It is another beautiful story. And they came from, Egypt to Greece and, you know, and how, just like Benjamin, how did they get that thought to come? Story in the first chapter of Ben-Hur, I'm telling you, it is beautiful how the three of them came together from such different cultures, and it's a beautiful story. It just so touching to me. The world was awakened. Those who were ready for the hearing the truth coming to them, the angel message.
And then they went to Herod's court to all the people that were supposed to know and did not know.
And did not know. That's it. And were scratching their heads. And Herod, they were trying to take over his kingdom, so to speak.
He was threatened by it.
He was very threatened indeed.
Yep.
It's a wonderful story.
What I liked about John Randall Dunn's hymn, he has two choruses there about hear the angels' song again. Mm-hmm. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. So this is carrying on throughout the centuries, and sometimes before Christ was born, I mean, Jesus was born, and after this voice has been heard. So I thought that was good. Hear that angelic voice again.
I just wanted to add, Mrs. Eddy in the preface writes wakeful shepherd, but I had looked up the word and it said vigilant, alert, on one's guard, watchful, attentive, heedful. And I thought those were very beautiful. And of course, awake, which we're always told, awake.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And I think that was the reason Carol chose that wakeful shepherd for the liberator theme. Yes.
It's interesting.
Okay. So we'll come to our final question, number 5. What did the shepherds do after visiting the baby Jesus?
They told it everyone. They spread the message.
Yes.
Yeah, they told their experience to everybody that would listen. And then they returned to their sheep.
Our Savior has come.
Yeah, one of the articles from the Bible Hub, the Shepherds Visit Jesus, sent by Carrie. They call the shepherds the first evangelists. They went out declaring the word. The shepherds' visit to Jesus is a profound moment in the Nativity account, illustrating themes of humility, divine revelation, and the universal nature of the gospel. Through this event, the shepherds become the herald of the good news, and their encounter with the Christ child marks the beginning of the proclamation of salvation to all people. So they didn't hold back. They didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't question it. They didn't say, oh, what does this mean? Or, oh, my, I don't understand this. They got it, and they ran with it.
Or I better control access to it so that I gain more
power. Oh, yeah, yes. And I'm going to keep it up in the archives, and no one else is know about it except those. Yeah, because they'll never understand.
And they might misrepresent it.
And so
we wouldn't want that to happen.
All for the glory of God.
Shout it from the rooftops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I did want to add, we were given this book on the journey of Jesus. Yes. Do you remember? I don't know who gave it to us, but I just wanted to bring it up again because it was written in 1884, but he used a lot of materials and reference. And I'm only mentioning it because when you Google now, they put in little seeds of doubt, like, oh, we don't really know if it was in December or the, and it isn't really a matter of dates, but just trying to sow those seeds of doubt. But this book has so many materials that just show very exacting study and research of old documents and things that they understood, and it just is very beautiful. And they did say that it should be in the winter, like we.
Yes, like we love.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Carrie, and Mrs. Eddy recommends that book. I think she had it in her library. It's called The Journeys of Jesus. Yes. And it tells you where he went, describing who he went with. It's a beautiful book to read.
Yes, and a thick book too.
Thick book.
Very thick. And a lot of
information.
A lot of information.
And you can get it. You can Google it. Maybe we should end with Bruce reading Luke 1:20. Or Tom, do you want to add anything before?
I just want to say it's a wonderful discussion. Loved it. Loved talking about John Randall Dunn and angels and shepherds. And thank you for all the input from everybody. This is absolutely wonderful and awesome. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you all. Bruce will end with reading Luke.
Okay, from Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you
for this.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all. Yes. Have a holy time.